This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Earlier this month, Project Worth released the latest teen pregnancy data and found in 2011, 2,952 teens gave birth in Bexar County. That number is down 9.8% since 2010, when 3,276 teens gave birth in Bexar County. Bexar County is clearly on the right track to bring down the teen pregnancy rate, but there's still more work to be done. What do you think needs to happen to make Bexar County sync up with the national average for teen pregnancy? What's your personal story that others can be inspired by and learn from in regards to teen pregnancy? We invite you to join the conversation. Call us at 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. Go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. And our guest this half hour, Dr. Thomas Schlenker, he is the director of Metro Health, and Cheryl Wisey, she's a nurse family partnership supervisor. And we're on a mission to talk about teen pregnancy in Bexar County this next half hour. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave.
So, Cheryl, let me ask you, what is working? How are we able to reverse the trend that we had in Bexar County and finally see a reduction in teen pregnancy here?
Well, I think more attention to the situation certainly helps. Good conversations, healthy conversations with teenagers. And ours that we have our program is for first-time moms, so we're talking with those moms about the healthy ideas about healthy conversations about planning their family. And they're very receptive to that, but I think really good open conversations help a lot.
So engaging the at-risk population, just one-on-one and talking with them, explaining to them what their choices are?
That's right. And asking them, where do you want to be in 5 years? How do you see you and your family? When do you want to have another child? Do you want to have another child? It's not a judgmental thing at all. What we do is explore with them options for their future. Part of our program helps with self-sufficiency, so that's part of it.
So you're engaging young girls who are already pregnant, right?
Or parenting. And
parenting. Mm-hmm. And so are these numbers, are these reductions coming from the reduction in the second pregnancy? Is that where we're seeing the gains?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. If you look at our numbers across the county, there are two nurse family partnership programs in the county. Ours is with the Children's Shelter, and there's one with University Hospital. And we're both seeing that we're targeting those areas where, especially that first 6 months after they have their babies, and then trying to push back that second baby. And a lot of them are choosing, and most of them, nearly 90% of them are choosing not to have another baby until they're out of our program. And they're out of our program when their baby turns two. So that's a good spacing.
Now, Dr. Thomas Schlenker, Director of Metro Health, is this a health issue in regards to a teen pregnancy? Why is this an issue that you are dealing with?
Well, it certainly is a health issue, but that has very, very broad ramifications for someone's entire life and the community around them. But Cheryl was talking about the large proportion of teen births that are second or third births. That's about 25% of the total, so that is a big chunk. But we're also dealing with those teenagers who hopefully won't even get into that category. And nationally, the two main reasons why birth to teenagers is going down, and I believe this is true in San Antonio also, is number one, younger teenagers are delaying the onset of first sex, so they're delaying it. And number two, those teens who are sexually active have greater access to effective birth control. Those are the two things that work. But more broadly than that, as Cheryl was saying, is engaging teenagers to talk about their whole lives in terms of what they value, planning ahead, knowing how to think about their future, choosing friends, and also learning skills like how to negotiate yourself out of sticky situations, how to say no when you know you should. That type of skill building is essential to these young people.
Now, looking at some statistics, outcomes for teen births, these teen mothers, they're more likely to live in poverty, less likely to complete high school, less likely to attend college, more likely to be and remain a single parent. Outcomes for the children, the teen births, they're, when they grow up, they're likely to drop out of school, have poor involvement, you know, not test well, you know, experience abuse and neglect, live in poverty, and for the males to end up in prison. So, you know, that there are some a lot of negative outcomes connected to teen births, and I imagine for multiple teen births that these risks move up exponentially. So that, I mean, if you have one child as a teen mom, maybe you can complete high school, maybe you can go to college if you have the determination and the support system. But if that becomes, you know, two, three children, then it just becomes, you know, not possible.
I really think that the odds are almost, it's almost insurmountable, that kind of adversity. And it's a health issue, but it's also a child neglect issue. It's a child abuse issue. It's a financial issue because it's expensive. It's expensive to have teen moms in the child protective services, you know, health care. I mean, home care, home-based services. It's expensive to have children injured or neglected or worse. It's bad for the community altogether.
And it's expensive for the state also, because the state does pick up a lot of these costs, and it's much cheaper for the state to provide birth control available to you know, sexually active youth than to pay for the birth, pay for the child care, pay for whatever services are down the line. Is that something that becomes, you know, part of the negotiating power, saying we need more resources, Dr. Schlenker?
Absolutely, it should be. We can actually calculate the cost of births to teenagers, and back in 2008, the cost of about 3,700 births to teenagers in San Antonio was $83 million. The good news is that it's dropped by more than 1,000, so that in 2012 we have about 2,700 births to teenagers, which means we as a community and as a state have saved millions and millions of dollars. We have a long way to go, but the cost is substantial.
It shows that there is a payout if we think creatively, if we act aggressively, if we try to figure out a way to deal with the situation. We're going to talk more about that. We're going to open up the phone lines. We want to hear from our callers, especially if you've got a personal story to share. The number is 614-8980. Also, email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. This is KSTX 89.1 FM. And welcome back to The Source on KSTX. Coming up in 15 minutes, we're going to talk about genetic counseling, what it means for you. Is it something available only to the rich and famous? Is there something in your genes that you ought to know about? And so we're going to talk about that. And then also later in the hour, we'll also talk to the San Antonio Conservation Society about the Josky's High Rise and what their thoughts are on how that could impact San Antonio. But right now, we're talking about teen pregnancy in Bexar County. We're seeing some progress in the reduction of the teen pregnancy rate here. And we want to see what you have to say about that. If you've been impacted by a teen pregnancy situation, you can inspire, show your story. What can we learn from your experience? Give us a call. The number is 614-8980. Our guest right now, Dr. Thomas Schlenker, he's the director of the Metro Health, and also Cheryl Wisey, nurse, family partnership supervisor. We're going to go to the phones right now. And Nadine Gomez, are you there?
Yes, Nadia Gomez.
Nadia, I'm sorry. And so, Nadia, tell me, so you have a story that you want to share. Go ahead.
Yes, I was 14 years old when I had my son. And 17 years later, I'm 31, and he is 17. He is finishing up his junior year. I am a first grade teacher. And really, I think it's educating our children and the family support. And the family support is what helped me through it and really what pushed me to not become part of that statistic, and for my son not to do that either. you know, to get my education, pushing him, you know, he knows he's going to college afterwards. And, you know, I was at a Northeast high school here in town, and I was in their teen parenting program, and they were very supportive and helped me with school, because unfortunately at home, you know, really nobody went to college in my family, in my immediate family. So there really wasn't that, I didn't have that information, but I got that through the teen parenting program. And then just my family support pushing me to keep on going is what really helped.
So Nadia, you had your one child at 14.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Did you have to do, I cannot have a second child. Does that enter your mind? If I'm going to make it, you know, this is going to be, you know, we've got to.
Oh, well, yeah, definitely. I mean, it was one of those things, like, that was it. I mean, I knew at that moment really what needed to be done and what I had to do. And not to just continue the cycle. And really, you know, I had to be able to support myself and my son. And really with, you know, support of my mom and my family, that just really helped. And they still support me. I still have that family support that just keeps me going, especially for my son, too.
So you said the NEISD Teen Mom Program was beneficial to you. Give me some details. What did they do for you?
They're the teen parenting program. And basically you'd get in, if you're pregnant, usually like the counselor would refer you to them. And they would provide the educational support when you were at home because, you know, you just had your child. They would go pick up all your work from school. And they would bring it home to you and tutor you. And I even got I got a little scholarship for them to go to college. So they were just very supportive. And, like, we would go to different seminars on college seminars. And people would come in and speak to us. So they really gave us the tools to really go out there and succeed and do it on ourselves. But it took yourself, like, having to do it.
Some people might think maybe you had, Nadia, some idyllic home life where people were willing to help you out, like this tremendous support system.
No, it was not like that. But, really, don't get me wrong, it took me 10 years to get my degree. So I had to work, and, you know, my son was in school. So,
right. Here you are now. You're a first-grade teacher. You're contributing to society. Where do you think you would be if you didn't have programs like the NEISD Teen Mom Program?
Really, honestly, they helped in my family, and honestly, I probably would have had more kids. Who knows? Who really, where my life was at that point, who knows? Because it wasn't just, you know, an issue with teen parents. There was just a lot of different things going on. So who knows? Like, I finally just saw the light, picked my head up, but it's scary to think where I would be right now. But I'm glad that I chose this path. I really am, that I had the support to do it.
Nadia, thank you so much. Thank you for calling. Do you want to say something, Doctor?
Yeah, I would. I mean, it's very inspiring to hear from somebody like Nadia. But let's think about it. She was sexually active when she was in middle school, and we know about a third of all kids in school are sexually active by the time they're in middle school. So there's a lot of work to be done, even at the very young age.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in. We really do appreciate it. I'm sure your story has inspired others. It certainly has informed us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nadia.
All right. More phone calls to get to. Let's see here. Jennifer has been standing by. Jennifer, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. My question is the 1,000 baby birth decrease in 2012, can you relate that at all to the abortion rate in San Antonio? Do you think that could have anything to do with that drop?
Abortions have been going down year after year after year. So that's a good thing that everybody's happy about. So I doubt that has a direct effect on our 2012 statistics.
So we cannot say that the reduction in teen birth is the result of increased or even stabilization of abortion numbers. Abortion is declining, as you say. So obviously this is a reduction in pregnancies initially.
Yeah, that's a key point. Births are going down because teen pregnancies are going down.
And probably that's also attributing to the reduction in abortions, probably.
Yes, absolutely. One of the best ways to reduce our rate of abortion is to prevent pregnancies that are unplanned and unwanted and unwise.
So if we were to factor in the reduction I mean, well, you know, that's just more another symbol of success of this program. Is that correct, Cheryl Wiesing?
Oh, I would certainly agree with that. Certainly agree with that.
Okay, back to the phones. Susanna, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. We just got a letter home from our school. My son's in middle school in NEISD, and it was for permission to attend the abstinence and sex education movie. And there seems to be a wider emphasis on the abstinence, and I'm wondering when it will be more a reality-based sex education program in schools.
All right, Susanna, thank you for your call. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Who wants to take that on?
Sure. That is a very astute question by an involved parent, and what we find is that most parents want, she called it reality-based, it's also called science-based or evidence-based instruction in schools. Not that we have an ideology in public health. The only thing we care about is what works. And what works is, yes, talking about abstinence, but also recognizing that many teenagers are sexually active and addressing that and providing science-based, accurate information and talking with them on their level. So some school systems have adopted science-based curriculums, and others have not, and I do agree with that mom. It needs to change.
If you were out there listening and you want to defend abstinence-only sex education, please give us a call. The number is 614-8980. There are people out there that say abstinence programs are the way to go because abstinence is 100% effective in prevention of pregnancy. But, that's the point of view. But others say abstinence doesn't really work all the time because people don't really follow it all the time. There's a breakdown in the system somewhere. So let's go back to the core issue that we want to talk about. It's teen pregnancy in Bexar County. We're seeing some progress, but most of that progress has been in the reduction in multiple births. Texas is number one in the nation for teen multiple births. That seems to be, a little bit easier to deal with, but where do we start having more reduction in the first births? Where do we have to go? What needs to be done? Cheryl Wiesing.
Well, I'd like to say that I think the Abstinence Plus programs are really, really effective in that they don't just talk about sex education. It's not just about learning what does and doesn't get you pregnant. It's encouraging teenagers and pre-teenagers to dream about their future. They need to think about their lives outside of Loop 410. And to me, I think that's a really big piece to make goals and make plans. And once they start doing that, then they start thinking me first, baby later.
So Me First, Baby Later, that's a program that's part of Project Worth. There's a website, mefirstbabylater.com. where you can get more information about. So what is that program?
Well, I can talk about that because that is a program that's part of the Metropolitan Health Department that I run that we're very proud of. It's mostly focused on middle schools. So these are young kids, 12, 13 years old. And it provides them not only with a science-based curriculum that is validated and does work that goes the entire spectrum from abstinence to contraception, but like Cheryl said, focuses a lot on teen development. And Me First, Baby Later is a catchy slogan that was created with a great deal of help from the kids themselves. And one of the most inspiring and effective aspects of our Project Worth is that teenagers themselves are so active in the program, and they are really the best communicators with each other, and they are also experts in social media, and it's amazing the videos and the other kinds of new technology that they are producing with themselves to inform and convince each other that it's worth waiting.
Now, it's worth waiting also, but there are some who don't wait, and they need access to birth control. So are we talking about male birth control, like condoms? Are we talking about the pill? the morning after pill. What is the preferred in making the morning after pill more available? You think that's going to be a game changer for teen pregnancy here in Bexar County?
I think that teenagers need to know the options. They need to be educated about the options. I think that they need to be able to choose what works best for them. And a lot of them will choose one of the more reliable, longer-lasting birth control methods. A lot of the teen moms that we work with will say, I don't want to take birth control pills. They're harder to remember and those kinds of things. So I think once the important thing is that they're informed and they can choose so that they have a stake in it, they have an ownership of it.
Now, we've seen a reduction in state funding for public health, especially women's health. Has that had an impact on how many resources we're able to throw at this issue here in Bexar County?
Yeah, I'm afraid that unfortunately it has. The best birth control for many teenagers is what's called long-acting reversible birth control. And these are the hormonal implants that are inserted under the skin and last for 3 years and are extremely effective. Also,
and that's been reduced access to that?
Yeah, and IUDs also. But they're both very, very effective and perfect for teenagers because they don't have to think about them, but they cost a lot of money, and they have been defunded.
Wow. Okay, we'll check into that, try and get back to that part of the story later. But we're out of time for this now. I want to thank you both for joining me here on The Source. Dr. Thomas Schlenker, Director of Metro Health, Cheryl YZ, Nurse Family Partnership Supervisor. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. We're going to talk about genetic counseling next on The Source.